Today we celebrate the journey of those who come from afar. And the wise men aren't the only ones. We always like to honor our first responders, and we have one in our midst. Stand up, Marine. Yes. And welcome back, and thanks for your service to our country. Let's hear it for them. Thank you. Yeah. Hoo-ah. All right. For many of you, Christmas is already over. You're in the process of putting things away, waiting for the credit card to come, that bill for how merry a Christmas you had. And yet in the church, we're still in full regalia because we're in the middle of it. Our Christmas season continues through next Sunday's Feast of the Baptism of the Lord. And for the Orthodox Christians of the East, this is their Christmas day. They exchange their gifts as the wise men follow the light of that star coming to Bethlehem to offer their treasure. So we need to keep this Christmas spirit going and growing a little while longer, especially in this world where there is so much turmoil, darkness, and sadness. And yet when these wise men come, little did they know that they were on a journey that was foretold 1,000 years before they set out to follow that star. The first prediction of their journey was sung in the psalm today. The psalms, all attributed to King David, were written 1,000 years before the coming of the Christ. And in Psalm 72, we heard that these men would come from afar. They would come from the east, and they would come to Israel to offer their treasures. 200 years later, still 800 years before the coming of Christ, Isaiah had more to say about it. We heard it in the first reading today, chapter 60, where it tells us that they're going to come and bring certain things with them, and they're going to bring gold and frankincense to offer at the crib of the Messiah. An epiphany is something that was hidden now being revealed to us. When we use the term epiphany, it's almost a sudden moment of clarity, like the light bulb going on above our head. Maybe you feel that way when you struggle with your Sudoku or your crossword puzzle and you just can't get it. And all of a sudden, like the light bulb goes off, you have an epiphany and a moment of clarity and you can solve the puzzle. Well, this epiphany is far more important than our Sudoku. Christmas is an epiphany where God reveals himself in the flesh. The invisible God made visible, the immortal, comes down to our mortality. But the revelations continue when the wise men arrive at the Christ child's crib, because we're learning more about who this Savior is, who he came to save, and how he plans on saving us. Isaiah told us that people from every nation would flock to Jerusalem, and all nations would walk in the light that shines forth from Jerusalem. This is news to the Jews that when God sent his son, it was not just to save the people of Israel and Judah. Had they paid closer attention to the prophets, they would have been expecting one who would come to save the Gentiles as well. And St. Paul clarifies that in our second reading. In the last sentence of that passage from chapter 3 of his letter to the Ephesians, he made it clear that the Gentiles, to whom he was bringing to baptism and gospel faith in Jesus Christ, they are members of the same body, they are co-heirs, co-partners in the promise. A further reminder that God sent his son not just to save Israel, but to save everybody. Sinners of every stripe, through every time in human history, and every country, culture, and language on the earth. So, we know who he has come to save, but how is he going to achieve it? That is signified by the third gift that the Magi bring with them to this impromptu baby shower, and it really seems out of place, and it's the myrrh. Myrrh in Jesus' time and centuries before and after was used as a burial ointment. It was something that would be used in preparing a corpse to be put in the tomb. These wise men, by giving Jesus that gift, have realized one important fact, that he was sent from God on a mission of mercy, born to die, that we might live. Always a reminder that the crib and the cross could have been cut from the same piece of wood. But in fulfillment of the prophecy, these men bring the gold and the frankincense. Gold because of Jesus' kingship. They recognize that he is a king of kings and a prince of peace, a wonder counselor. And that is why, where they didn't curtsy or bow in the presence of Herod, when they arrive in the smelly barn at Bethlehem, they faceplant, they prostrate themselves face down, prone in the dirt before the manger. And that is their profound humility in the presence of God in the flesh. The gold is for his kingship. The frankincense is in recognition that that child is a priest. Frankincense was used in temple sacrifice in Jerusalem when they are cutting up a ram, a bullock, or a lamb, or turtle doves, or whatever the case may be. As it's burning on the altar, there were flaming braziers in huge pots on all four corners of the altar, and the frankincense was being burned up inside it. They recognize that Jesus is a king with the frankincense, that he is a priest, but he's far more than that. He is the priest, he is the altar, he is the lamb, he is the sacrifice. And so all of that is an epiphany. All that God has revealed to us, a savior for Gentile and Jew, slave and free, and that he's going to save us by giving his life for us. Now this is the second chapter of Matthew, and we hear nothing more ever again in the Bible about these wise men except that they went home by a different path. But the important thing is that they went home. And surely they didn't just carry on as they had before, and one never does after an encounter, a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. It changed their lives, it changed their route, and it changed their destiny. Because legend has it that these wise men went back to Asia and to Africa and became proclaimers of this good news to everyone they met and to all the world, to let them know that in Israel there is a king for every nation, fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy that all nations will walk by his light. And so, whether your Christmas decorations are still shimmering and shining on the mantle, the eaves trough, or on the tree, or whether you've packed them away, this epiphany is a reminder to us that Christmas is not over. Christmas is never over. We should continue all throughout our life to seek him, to follow the light of that star, and then more importantly, like the Magi, to go home and go out into this world and spread that light to other people.